Seattleites working for big retail and food service companies are about to get more predictable schedules as the Seattle City Council, which yesterday passed a law that requires employers to post schedules 2 weeks in advance, pay penalties for any last-minute changes, and offer hours to current employees before hiring new staff. Well, what do employers think about these new rules? David Jones is a Subway franchisee owner in Seattle. Welcome back, David.
Thank you.
You and others spoke against this, but Seattle passed it unanimously, 9 council members to 0. How does that make you feel?
Makes me feel betrayed by Seattle. It didn't feel like they were listening to the people that were going to be affected by it, and they didn't surround themselves with those people, and then they went on an agenda that they had and without any counsel, it felt like.
So what's your take on how these new rules will affect you? What happens next in your business?
Well, there's a couple things that happen. They're real quick and easy is that we have penalty hours for a bunch of different things that are part of our normal routine life, covering sick calls, covering people that quit without giving us a notice.
Penalty hours meaning you're going to pay a penalty for covering that?
For anything covering. If someone goes home early, there's all kinds of red tape to go through without paying a penalty for that. So the one is a cost factor. It's about $1,500 to $2,000 for me for the year, for my projections. Doesn't seem like a whole lot, but it adds up and makes you make decisions, you know, because of that. And the second issue is the posting of a job that comes open. So the restaurant industry is a part-time industry. We have a lunch rush and a dinner rush and a breakfast rush. So we need part-time people to help fill that. And this is a kind of a fight to get rid of those part-time employees. Well, if you have 3 full-time employees, when you need 5 staff, 2 part-time and or 3 part-time and 2 full-time, it affects how you can staff and how many people you can have on shift to cover the rushes.
So what is all that going to mean for workers? What's going to happen to your employees? How's their life going to change?
Well, I'm going to try to make it as minimal as possible with how we approach it. But I do know that with minimum wage, I had cut 5,000 hours, not meaning to, but we just do off traffic. That's how we schedule. And I had cut 5,000. So I put some of those back in 2016. I changed my budget for labor. I will have to change my budget back because of this.
You're going to have to reduce hours?
I'm going to have to go back to what I was doing before. So how you would, you know, reduction or not is how you'd interpret it.
Well, David, as you know, this is an attempt by the city to address, as the mayor said, income inequality. Councilmember Gonzalez says we're shifting the power to workers. In other words, workers have had a tough time the last few several years in this economy. What's wrong with giving a boost to workers?
There's nothing wrong with giving a boost to workers, but what's wrong with helping small businesses stay alive? You're trying to survive everything just like the employees are trying to survive. If you give all the power to the employees and you take all the power away from the small business, where are they able to make decisions that help them stay in business? Some of these things that they're taking away from us are going to affect people staying in business, and they don't seem to care about that, and that affects employees.
A lot of workers will tell you we are a long way from all the power being in the hands of workers, that they've got a lack of predictability, which means they can't plan their lives. They can't get child care. Some people are living, you know, on a razor's edge. That's the argument, right?
That's the argument from labor. And if you went to these meetings, I went to all the meetings. If you went to the meetings, it was labor that showed up to talk. It wasn't employees. If you talk to my employees, they don't agree with this legislation. So the city talked to labor. Labor said, hey, we've got these issues, but it was all labor. It wasn't actual real employees. And the real employees that spoke up were the full service workers in Seattle who spoke out loud enough where they took them off the initiative completely.
David Jones is a Subway franchisee, so people think, Subway, you're a big company, but this applies to you even though you own your small Subway business. I understand. Well, I talked to a Subway franchisee who told me straight out, I'm looking to get out of the city. My business is up for sale, partly because of this, partly because of minimum wage, higher minimum wage. What's going on with your Subway franchise?
Well, I have 2 in Seattle. One is very strong, so I consider myself a leader in Seattle. I want to do what I can to stay there and help other franchisees. But I talk to people all the time, every week, that are planning on moving out of Seattle or planning on selling.
What would help you the most now if these rules applied to smaller businesses to level that playing field, or if King County adopted it so that you're not competing against your neighbor and over the border?
Well, it's pretty unfair that they pick on the franchisees, where they don't want to meet us and get to know that we're actually really small business. They're just listening to the labor's rhetoric about us. But it's pretty sad to me that that's who they pick on, and the law isn't important enough to have it go with everybody. But we're going to pick franchisees to make them be the guinea pigs, and that it's just a sad reality for Seattle.
Subway franchisee owner David Jones in Seattle, one of the businesses that the new secure scheduling laws will apply to. Thanks for coming back and talking with us, David.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're listening to The Record on KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information.